No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the second day of October. It's the second day in the New Testament. We had a great kickoff yesterday. So many things clicking from old to new for me this year. I hope they are for you too. And if not, it's okay. We're all on this journey together, but we are in different sections of the journey, different places. And hopefully it can help us connect some dots together. But we have met. We have gotten to this man named Jesus, both fully man and fully God. We have read of his coming in the Old Testament prophets. And here we are, his cousin John, preparing the way for this man named Jesus, who has come to be the light of the world and to shine on all men. And this hopefully will put some things into perspective for us in the New Testament. Today we're going to read Matthew chapter 1, and then we're going to jump over to Luke and read the second chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 38. This week we're reading God's Word translation, Matthew chapter 1. This is the list of ancestors of Jesus Christ, descendant of David and Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah and Tamar were the father and mother of Perez and Zerah. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon and Rahab were the father and mother of Boaz. Boaz and Ruth were the father and mother of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of King David. David and Uriah's wife Bathsheba were the father and mother of Solomon. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jeconiah and his brothers. They lived at the time when the people were exiled to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matthan, Matthan the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called Christ. So there were 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David until the exile to Babylon, 14 generations from the exile until the Messiah. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. His mother Mary had been promised to Joseph in marriage, but before they were married, Mary realized that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph was an honorable man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the marriage agreement with her secretly. Joseph had this in mind when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said to him, "Joseph, descendant of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. he saves, because he will save his people from their sins. All this happened so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet came true. The virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. He took Mary to be his wife. He did not have marital relations with her before she gave birth to a son. Joseph named the child Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 38. At that time, the emperor Augustus ordered a census of the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All the people went to register in the cities where their ancestors had lived. So Joseph went from Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a Judean city called Bethlehem. Joseph, a descendant of King David, went to Bethlehem because David had been born there. Joseph went there to register with Mary. She had been promised to him in marriage and was pregnant. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there wasn't any room for them in the inn. Shepherds were in the fields near Bethlehem. They were taking turns watching their flock during the night. An angel from the Lord suddenly appeared to them. The glory of the Lord filled the area with light, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, a message that will fill everyone with joy. Today your Savior, Christ the Lord, was born in David's city. This is how you will recognize him. You will find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a large army of angels appeared with the angel. They were praising God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who have his goodwill." The angels left them and went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph with the baby who was lying in a manger. When they saw the child, they repeated what they had been told about him. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was amazed. Mary treasured all these things in her heart and always thought about them. As the shepherds returned to their flock, they glorified and praised God for everything they had seen and heard. Everything happened the way the angel had told them. 8 days after his birth, the child was circumcised and named Jesus. This was the name the angel had given him before his mother became pregnant. After the days required by Moses' teachings to make a mother clean had passed, Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem. They took Jesus to present him to the Lord. They did exactly what was written in the Lord's teachings. Every firstborn boy is to be set apart as holy to the Lord. They also offered a sacrifice, as required by the Lord's teachings, a pair of mourning doves or 2 young pigeons. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He lived an honorable and devout life. He was waiting for the one who would comfort Israel. The Holy Spirit was with Simeon and had told him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah, whom the Lord would send. Moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courtyard. Mary and Joseph were bringing the child Jesus into the courtyard at the same time. They brought him so that they could do for him what Moses' teachings required. Then Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God by saying, "Now, Lord, you are allowing your servant to leave in peace as you promised. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people to see. He is a light that will reveal salvation to the nations and bring glory to your people Israel." Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is the reason that many people in Israel will be condemned and many others will be saved. He will be a sign that will expose the thoughts of those who reject him, and a sword will pierce your heart. Anna, a prophet, was also there. She was a descendant of Penuel from the tribe of Asher. She was now very old. Her husband had died 7 years after they were married, and she had been a widow for 84 years. Anna never left the temple courtyard, but worshipped day and night by fasting and praying. At that moment, she came up to Mary and Joseph and began to thank God. She spoke about Jesus to all who were waiting for Jerusalem to be set free. Okay, in the spirit of just holding on as long as we possibly can, I want to ask you all a question. Do you remember? I can't help it. I told you I speak in song lyrics, food, and shoes. I warned you guys. Do you remember all the way back to the genealogy, the very beginning of the year, all of those names of genealogy and who was begotten who and who was begotten the son of and the father of? And I told you guys, stay awake, stay here. And this is why, as we read today, the genealogy all the way back to Adam, and this is the family line of Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God in the flesh, God who was the Word, was with the Word, and came to be with us, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Remember all of the sneakiness. Remember Rebecca, who pitted Jacob against Esau by being sneaky, by being deceptive, by being dishonest. Throw out another name, any name, just throw it out, and we can recall the brokenness. We can recall the fracture within the family, the story, and we can name the behaviors, but behind the behavior, we have to get to the root, what is underneath the behaviors. That reveals the heart. Jealousy. Jealousy caused Joseph's brothers to put him in a pit, leave him to die, and then sold him into slavery. Remember that story? Joseph then becomes second in command in all of Egypt, in a time where if we needed to hear this story, we needed to hear this story. In a day and age where we hide behind our keyboards, we become keyboard warriors with our fingers plucking away that response. In a time when we are being told to dismiss anyone that doesn't like you or agree with you, cut them off, shut them up, silence them. That's not our spiritual authority, by the way. But what does Joseph do? He welcomes them. He makes sure that they have all that they need. He tells them to return and bring everyone back, and he will give them land. He will give them security. He will give them a future. We can learn from this story. We can follow this all the way to Jesus. Because if we don't know Jesus, we don't know that Jesus will tell us how we should treat those who are against us, what we should do to our enemies, how we should love our neighbors, how we should forgive those that have offended us so that we can be forgiven by our Father in heaven. Now, I get it. In the story of Joseph's brothers, there was repentance upon the discovery from his brothers of once they recognize Joseph, he recognizes them before they were able to recognize him. They repented. They were sorrowful. They were afraid that once their father died, Joseph would punish them to death. And he doesn't. evil will not stop until we stop putting evil into the world. So we have all of these people and all of these stories that we have read all throughout this year so far. And they all tell a story within a story. They tell a story of the children of Israel that were called to be God's chosen people, set apart, not superior, not special in that you get special privileges that the rest of the world doesn't get, and that you are to be held accountable to this covenant. And they couldn't do it, which produces a much greater story. They wanted a king. God gave them King Saul. From King Saul to King David to King Solomon, so on, so forth. And I talked a while ago now about we're going to hold on to this piece. It's a really, really important piece as we go into the New Testament. When the people demanded a king and God gave them King Saul, they wanted a king because all of the other nations had a king. They wanted a king by comparison. They wanted a king to feel relevant. We talked about yesterday how when we turn the page of the Bible, 400 years pass from Old Testament to New Testament. A lot of things happen in 400 years. The stories get passed down. We're supposed to remember. We're supposed to not forget where God brought us from, what he brought the children of Israel out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Stay with me. We're driving, but we're going to get there. The piece that I wanted you to hold on to is that after the people are exiled, they are out of Jerusalem. They are exiled into different nations. They become the minority. They become strangers in a foreign land. They have to start all over. They have to live for two generations before they are called back, welcomed back to Jerusalem. Some go back and some do not. God told them they could return to Jerusalem, but things would not be ever as they were intended to be again. So as we turn the page into the New Testament, we have to understand that Jerusalem, which was once the city of David, is now under the Roman Empire. Think of Roman soldiers, and yet the people have been prophesied to from generation to generation and passed down that God will restore them back one day. Now, when we think of restoration, sometimes we might have a tendency to bypass restoration and go straight to revenge. When God restores us, and a new king is coming, the king that they demanded, remember King Saul, a new king is coming. And if this king is coming and he's going to restore us to God, unto himself, then he's going to have to defeat the Roman Empire. They're looking for a strong man who would have to be a warrior, who would have to bring revenge to overtake the Roman Empire. I'm going to say the statement and I'm going to leave it there. They're getting a king of a different kind that they could have never expected. As we read today, we remember the lineage, the family line of Jesus, the broken people, with stories where we can identify our own selves in so many different stories. I hope that gives us hope that no matter who we are, and no matter where we've been, and no matter where we came from and who we came from, and this man named Jesus, he knows our own brokenness. And he came to heal our brokenness. So very quickly, let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, to reveal our heart, and then to heal our brokenness. This is a king of a different kind. Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for willing to come because you came perfectly. You remained perfect and you still came to be among our humanity, our brokenness. And you see that brokenness, you saw that brokenness, and you healed so many physically and emotionally, spiritually. And I trust, God, that you are continuing that healing today. We love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are. Thank you for healing us, that we don't have to stay broken. We worship you for who you are, and I pray this all in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Guys, we are celebrating 20 years of Daily Audio Bible, and available now. Clean Canteens in the Daily Audio Bible store. Fall colors, Corsia blue and Sea Spray green. Get those fall colors while they last. Products will not stick around. They tend to fly off the shelves. So you can get yours now, today. If you'd like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you. We could not do this without you. We are so grateful that we do not have to. If you're giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you're giving by the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. Or again, utilizing the app, hit the red circle button, the prayer hotline button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that little wheel over to chronological to ensure that it gets to the right place. Also, check out our social media platforms, Daily Audio Bible, wherever you may subscribe. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow and meet with Jesus together. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hey, DFC fam, it's Carrie, aka Jesus Girl. I just wanted to lift up Mountain Girl from New Mexico and her son Jackson, who's in the ICU in critical condition. Gotta come to you right now on behalf of Jackson, Lord, and I beg of you to please touch his body. Lord, heal every cell in it, Lord, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Jesus, we ask that, first of all, we praise you. We praise you, Lord, because you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the master physician. And God, we know because we've seen and we've witnessed and we've read of the accounts that you are capable and able of healing in every situation. And Lord, this is a serious situation, Lord, where Jackson is fighting for his life. And so, Lord, I'm asking you at this point, please, God, touch him. Give the doctors the wisdom and the guidance that they need. Be with each and every person that takes care of him, Lord, that walks into his room. May there not be a spirit of death there, Lord, but a spirit of life, a spirit of healing. Lord, we just ask that you send your angels, God, to guard over him, to protect him, and that they keep the angel of death at bay. God, I ask that you just be with Mountain Girl, Lord, and her family is their concern and their relying on you, God. give them peace in this, Jesus, regardless of the outcome. But God, what we're really asking is that please Jackson be able to get up and walk out of that hospital in the health that any 22-year-old should have. God, we give you honor and glory and praise, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Bless y'all.
Hello, DABC family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for Mountain Girl from New Mexico, who is pleading for dear life, for God to do a miracle on her son, Jackson, who's in critical condition. Sweet Jesus, we lift up Jackson into your hands, Lord God. Look at this young man, full of life, Lord God, a young man who still has so much to achieve, as far as we know and understand. Lord Jesus, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bring restoration and healing to these young men's bones. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that every bone, every ligament, every tissue, every cell, every muscle and fiber, oh Lord God, would fall in alignment according to the way his body ought to operate and function in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead to you, Holy Spirit, that you would give him more years to live on this earth, and that through it, oh Lord God, he would be able to proclaim and pursue Jesus in everything that he does. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would revive this young man. Bring him back to life, Lord God. Rid him of this ailment that has assailed his body. Lord God, do a mighty miracle through him, oh Lord God. I pray that in the name of Jesus, the doctors, the nurses, anesthesiologists, anybody involved, oh Lord, from the medical team, give them wisdom, Lord God. Give them wisdom to know how in the world they are to treat this young man and his critical condition in the name of Jesus. I pray for revelation. I pray for you to speak to them clearly what they ought to do and what procedures they ought to take. Lord, and I pray that you rid this mama of all anxiety, oh Lord, and that in Jesus' name you give her the peace that surpasses all understanding to guard her mind in Christ, in Jesus' name.
Good morning, DABC family. Just calling to lift up some brothers and sisters in Christ. First, I wanted to lift up Dinah's sister, who's in Belgium, and Mountain Girl's son, Jackson. Father, we just lift up both of these to you, Father. Lord, they're both, and one's in intensive care and one's on life support, Lord. And Father, we just pray that your hand would be upon them, God. We ask that you would reach down and touch Jackson, Father, that you would heal this young man of 22, God. And Lord, that you would enable, God, his mom to be with him, because I know that breaks her heart, God. Lord, I just pray that you would heal, God, and lift him up and bring him through this, God, and reunite her with her son so that she could be there. I pray also for Dinah, Lord, who is, I believe you're in England, whose sister is in Belgium. Excuse me, Hulimaso. Father, we just ask for healing for her, Father, that you would be with her and her family, God, that you would give them peace and comfort during this time, God. And that you would wrap your arms around them, Lord. Lord, like she said, there is nothing too hard for you to do, Lord, because you did lift those from the dead, Lord. But no, we know that your hand, and we ask that your will be done, Lord, in each of these lives, God. God, that you would wrap these families in your arms of comfort, that you would be with them. And God, we ask that your will be done, Lord. But we ask that they're healed, Father. We don't know what your will is and what you have planned for each of their lives and who you want to touch, God. But we know, as hurting families, Lord, as you know, that we hate to see our loved ones suffer, and we hate when they leave this earth, although we know, Father, that you have a better tomorrow for them, Lord. God, when we go to heaven, it will be better than it is on earth. But Lord, we ask your will be done, and that you would be with each of them. Amen.